Song of encouragement will be number 971. 971.
Good morning. We've got lots of visitors today, and we're proud that you're with us. Stay with us and let us get to know you better. After our service, we'd invite you back at any opportunity you had to be with us. And for those of us who regularly attend here, be sure to speak to our visitors and welcome them, because we're just proud that you came to be with us. Had a great vacation Bible school this week. Appreciate everybody that worked hard in that and participated. Sorry that Carrie and I had to miss most of that. We were out of town. It's good to be back home. I'm gun shy. We got to the airport and the flight delayed. I immediately told Carrie, I said, get on your computer and find the next flight out of here, because when this thing cancels, I'm on the 800 number. I'm not going to spend the night in the New Orleans airport if I can help it. But I found this. Different parts of the country are different. We know that, don't we? We got into the New Orleans airport, and the first lady we met called Carrie baby 13 times. Hey, baby, I've been here 39 years. I can help you. What do you need, baby? I'll help you. Very helpful. And she did get us a shuttle to where we wanted to go. I've decided it's sweet iced tea. If you go to a place where they have sweet iced tea in the restaurants, they're friendly, helpful, and warm. If you go and you ask for sweet iced tea and they look at you like you have a disease, they ain't our kind of folks. So they had sweet iced tea. Everything was great. But it's good to be back. Good to be back home. And again, glad that we had a great week. You're fortunate today, for those of you who are visiting, you're going to hear the greatest preacher today that's ever preached. Because I'm going to read the Sermon on the Mount. So we'll hear the words of Jesus today. But before we do that, I want to give a little bit of introduction. Something I want you to think about as we go through the Sermon on the Mount. We talked about it a little bit last week. And I was reminded that Stan led the song about Zion. We sing about Zion. Why do we sing about Zion? What is the significance of Zion? Why do we sing the beautiful city of God? But it's important, because it's important to understand that Zion and the concept of Zion is important to understand the Sermon on the Mount. What's significant? Well, Zion really stands for us as Jerusalem. Now, Zion, Mount Zion originally is not all of what is Jerusalem today. Zion was what's called the city of David. It's actually part of Jerusalem. If you look from the Mount of Olives to the city of Jerusalem, and that's the picture you see 99% of the time when you see a picture of Jerusalem, you're looking from the Mount of Olives. In the lower left corner below the Temple Mount is actually the hill that would have been called the city of David, that would have been called Zion. It's actually the place where historians and theologians believe that Melchizedek had set up camp, the city that Melchizedek was in when Abraham goes. Remember, Abraham pays homage to Melchizedek. The Hebrew writer will say that Jesus is the high priest in the order of Melchizedek, that God's people had had a relationship with this city of David, with Zion. And the prophecies, now that Israel had gone into the promised land 430 years after it had been promised to Abraham, and they go in and they take the land, and you remember, because of captivities and the sinfulness of Israel, they had become slaves, they had been driven out by the Assyrians, by the Babylonians, they had been taken over by the Romans. By the time of Jesus, they're under Roman domination. But there is the thought, the continuing of the freedom of Jerusalem, the freedom of Zion, or the greeting in Hebrew when you see someone, we say hello, is shalom. Shalom. And what does shalom mean? It doesn't mean hello. It means peace. The peace of Jerusalem. For peace. Where Jerusalem is at peace, where God has restored the promise of Jerusalem. What does John see in the Revelation? Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. And so it is a description in Revelation 21 of the new Jerusalem. So we sing about Zion. We're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God, that Jerusalem, the city of God, where the temple was, and the restoration of God's people. And we understand that now, and the New Testament is so explicit in talking about how we have been grafted into the promise, that we are actually, as Gentiles, are not part of the natural root, but have been grafted into this root, to the promise, and for this restoration. And if we have time this morning, and we may not, maybe next week, we'll read from Isaiah 61, which talks about the mourn, about the restoration for the mourning and for the poor. Very much what Jesus talks about in the Beatitudes, but it's about the restoration of Zion, about God's blessings back on His people. So as you read the Sermon on the Mount, it's against the backdrop of here's Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Christ, and saying, this is what the kingdom is like. This is the kingdom where God rules and where God's people are restored and where things are made new and made right. And so we read that, we're marching to Zion, and this is how people of the kingdom live. And so as we read and we start with the Beatitudes, it's really an invitation. What does the kingdom look like? Who are those who are going to be in the kingdom? Who are those who are blessed by God? Now, the words of Jesus recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they place it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to the judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who has taken you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries that divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be careful. Do not do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or what about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious lions. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. As we look then at the backdrop of certainly this great teachings of Jesus, or I think the great teachings of Jesus, let's go to Isaiah, to the prophet. And as we study this, and we'll get more next week into the Beatitudes themselves, but I want to read this passage because it has very much the same tone of the Beatitudes. And I think it's important to understand the audience of the first century, because the teachings of Jesus are certainly as relevant today as they were at the time he taught them originally. But we really get a deeper understanding of what Jesus is saying when we look at it against the prophecy. Because what would the people of the time have known? They would have known the prophecy, especially in Israel. Now, while most of these folks are not educated, They would have been part of synagogue assemblies on a regular basis. And these scriptures would have been read and would have been discussed. They certainly would have been familiar with the prophets. And many of these passages would have been passages they would have read on a very regular basis. And so Isaiah is talking about the restoration of Zion, God's blessings back on Zion. And I want you to read, as we read that, the parallel, the same themes and tones that we see, especially in the Beatitudes, as Jesus is building on what they would have known, as he talks about the kingdom and their invitation to be a part of the kingdom, as he ties it in to what the prophets had seen centuries before. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are the people that the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. You can see there is a blessing in Isaiah 61 for those who mourn, for those who are poor, just as there is in the Beatitudes of Matthew 6. We'll look next week, the Lord wills, at Luke chapter 6. As he has not only the blessings that we see in Matthew, but also the contrast to that, the woes. And so as the audience of Jesus would have heard him giving the Beatitudes, the blessings and cursings would have been something that they were familiar with. As they come into the promised land, you have a dividing on the two mountains. And blessings from one, cursings from the other. And so Matthew records for us the blessings. Luke records for us in an abbreviated fashion both of those, because you see the contrast. And as you read the Beatitudes this week, and I'd encourage you to do that, as we study through this passage, for you to be reading, maybe read the whole thing several times as we've done this morning. Obviously, it's not very long to read that. But read the Beatitudes, because it really is Jesus saying, these are the folks who are blessed by God. And we'll talk about this more next week. But it's probably different than the audience of his time, or maybe even most of us. If we went through and listed a people who were blessed by God, those who are poor and who mourn are probably not the ones we'd say at this point are receiving a blessing, right? We'll say, well, God knows what's best. But Jesus said, these are the folks who are blessed. These are the folks who are blessed, and we'll talk about what that means and why. Jesus' message was, as he taught, and that of the apostles was, an invitation to the kingdom, to be a part of the kingdom, that the kingdom is passing by, that we are invited to be part of God's kingdom, where His will is done on earth as it is in heaven, to be His people where there are blessings and where there is salvation, where there is renewal, where there is covenant, to be a part of the children of God, to be part of the family of God, to be heirs of God, to receive the inheritance of eternal life and all of the blessings of God. That's the invitation He gives to us. Jesus paid the price because sin separates us, and He calls us in repentance and faith and obedience to come to Him. If you need to come this morning, do that while we stand and sing.